How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hate Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
Chatterbox, chatterbox, ooh, chatter, chatterbox, chatterbox.
Chatterbox, chatterbox, oh.
Oh, I want to do the part where someone's like, chatterbox.
Boom, boom, boom.
Too late for that.
JBC, did you ever sing?
I guess I never have, but I'm just waiting for the right guy to ask me to dance.
What?
What?
Mm-hmm. Aaron, did you ever do like in school or any sort of like, did you sing the national anthem at like a baseball game or something?
No, I was never asked.
Mm.
Oh, say.
No, Aaron, I wasn't asking you now.
You see.
Sorry, I wasn't asking you now.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, sure.
One time I did see a woman get, she didn't really get hit by a car, but she got like sideswiped by the car and fell down. And
that's
I
it.
Ran over to her. What? I mean, she, yeah. I ran over to her and I said, oh my God, can you walk? And she looked up at me with like kind of like dazed eyes and she said, are you asking me to dance?
Is that true?
No.
Of course not.
I thought you were going to say, she got hit by a car, and I went over and I said, can you walk? And she said, I'm fine. I can walk. I can sing. I feel like every time I'm at a sporting event, I feel like the person singing the national anthem, there's always some sort of like crack in their voice.
Mm-hmm.
They're so nervous. And I feel like there's always, they hit a wrong note. It has to be exhausting and also terrifying. But they always hit a bad note or like it sounds rough for a little bit. And everyone in the entire stadium is like trying to kind of keep it together and be like, okay.
It's okay, pal. Guess who's singing the national anthem at my wedding?
It's almost always Fergie. It's almost always Fergie.
So funny.
Every time I hear someone sing the national anthem, it's almost always Fergie.
True. I would love to go to like a youth hockey game and it's Fergie singing the national anthem. Like, oh my God, her again?
And halfway through, she's like, can I just sing Let's Get It Started?
Yeah.
That's all the people really want. They just want to hear
and
me sing Let's Get It Started.
Next to me and trying to sit in next to me, always in the hump, hump, looking at my Fergie, right?
Yeah,
you
sure.
Can look, but
probably.
You can touch it if you touch it and it.
Or no, is it the Pussycat Dolls?
I've never sang because I don't think anyone would truly want to hear that. Whenever musicals came up in high school, I always did crew for the musicals. I would do acting for all the plays, but always crew for the musicals.
Did
you ever kind of want to be in one?
No, I didn't care for musicals. They were too, like, I really liked acting, and musicals were too, like, hey, it's me, I'm singing to you, it's the small town, and I'm a boy with dreams. And it was just like, oh, no, this isn't for me. There's like
too much like your own life?
Well, I grew up in a small town, I was a boy with dreams, you know.
Dreams,
like, nightmares, not really. Pillow Man.
Could you sing, isn't she hummus?
Isn't she Sabrahamis?
So what is this?
What, this is a chatterbox, I believe.
Oh, okay, hi.
What other episodes start with us saying, isn't she hummus, Aaron?
Come on.
Most, I think, right?
No, that's the theme song for Chatterbox.
Ooh, sorry.
That's the theme song for Chatterbox. We all know it. It's all been that way.
Aaron, I'm going to sing the national anthem at your wedding, but I'm going to accidentally say, I pledge allegiance to the flag. Oh, 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 whoop.
Whoop, and then you sing Yankee Doodle Dandy.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yankee Doodle Dandy was our first dance. Our first dance song was Yankee Doodle Dandy. No, this is a Chatterbox episode, which means some very fine folks from the Discord have submitted questions, topics, things like that for the Chatterbox, and we're just going to launch right into them.
All right.
Okay.
So
the first one. The first one is from Lurk, and Lurk just writes, rank John's cousins.
Your cousins?
It says rank John's cousins. I mean, nobody calls me John, I guess, but maybe that's what they're saying.
Okay, well, I have two cousins named John, so maybe I should be ranking my cousins.
So
would you put yourself number one?
I have a cousin that has two cousins named John.
Oh.
I have a cousin named John.
Remember when we had to guess all your cousins' names for an episode, JPC?
Yep, that's true.
Rank.
How many are there?
Gotta rank.
So between three of us, we have four cousins named John, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mine's like a
rank a those Johns
twice removed or something.
Should we rank the
four
Johns?
Wait, hold on, hold on. No, wait. What did Adel just say?
I said my quote unquote cousin John is like my mom's second cousin's son.
So you don't have a cousin named John.
That doesn't count at all, right?
Let's rank the Johns that we know. And Adel, you can help, okay?
Mine's like young. He's like under 10, I think. He's like a little baby.
I can help, thanks.
Okay, you have Adel, this is a conversation for people who have cousins named John. Take a seat.
This is an E&J conversation. See ya.
I also have an uncle named John.
Posers who are like, I got a cousin named John.
So your cousin named John, GPC, is under 10?
I think he's young, yeah. He's definitely, they called him Little John for a while to distinguish between the two.
Okay.
Did he make Forbes 10 under 10?
Oh my God, yes. 10 under tennis.
Okay, so what's his deal? What are his interests and hobbies?
I don't know. I have no idea. What are kids into? Being little
Great.
Kids?
What about the other John?
That's
you.
Me.
Okay, and what would you say his interests, hobbies, and age are?
I don't know. What does it matter? Like,
Little John
is 32-year-old like? I don't know.
Little John is first so far, and
okay.
You are a distant second. And then
let's add your Johns to the mix.
All right, the older
one. Hold on,
one.
Can I chime in?
Yeah,
I guess so.
Am I allowed?
Sure, what do you got?
I'm going to rank your cousins a different way. I'm going to give Little John the rank of corporal.
Oh, okay.
And JPC, I feel like you'd make a good admiral.
Yeah, I would be like an admiral twice removed, which means I've been court-martialed twice.
Hmm.
And Aaron, what are your Johns? What kind of Johns are we working with?
One John was a dancer and lived in Poland and has really cute little kids and is very smart. He's one of the smartest people I've ever known. He's a very curious person. I'd say that's the word I would use to describe him. He's very kind and curious. And then the other John, who's in my grade, very, very smart, very interested in history, a military guy. His wife is really great. And
what's his military rank?
He's a little John, so.
Aaron, sounds like he's the only one curious in your family.
Mm-hmm. If I'm hearing this correctly, if I heard you correctly, would you say that it is an accurate statement that you have a cousin named John who is a pole dancer?
Well, he was.
Listen, Poland, I guess. He's a dancer.
Yes.
Okay, well then I can't go to jail.
Yep.
I cannot be sued
you
for
can,
libel.
You still can, but for all the other things.
But I may not.
So, and you can rank those Johns, and then we'll fit them into the ranking.
Is it fair to say that in military, he brings to battle a war saw?
Oh my God, good job.
What an ineffective way to fight a war. I gotta say, pole dancer is my favorite John of all, then my little cousin John, then I guess the military John, then me.
All right, that's the official ranking.
Official ranking.
Stamped, and Adel sign here.
Thank you, Lurk.
Initial. Sign.
S-T-A-M-P.
Lick.
Okay, this next one. This next one comes from Glubero, she, her. Animals you thought were fake as kids. Did you think that there were any animals that were like fake as kids?
Here's something. This doesn't pertain to me, but it is bonkers to me how many people have admitted this to me. So many people I know thought reindeer were fake, which boggles my mind.
Yeah, I did for a little bit.
Oh, that's interesting.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought pufferfish were fake.
I thought narwhals were fake.
platypus.
Platypus, yeah.
Definitely
woolly
mammoths.
I
didn't believe those were.
Oh, I didn't think. I didn't know that there's bats, like vampire bats that actually drink blood.
Oh, okay, cool.
I thought bats were like harmless, and I was like, oh, movies are like vampire bats, but then I guess they're a real thing.
I remember laughing out loud when I learned what a flying squirrel was. I thought that was so funny.
I remember the first time I saw a horse up close, I said, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Horses are so scary.
Horses are huge.
I know I've mentioned this in the show so many times, but I'm a little bit scared of horses. My heart starts to race when I'm near a horse because they're so strong.
Every time I've ridden a horse, it truly feels like it's like, I am nothing in this world. Like the entire time you're riding a horse, you're like, I am nothing. I could leave this planet at any time. I am the smallest, most insignificant creature.
Yeah, it's like this guy should be the boss. The horse should be in charge.
Right. He should be riding me.
Why are their hairs so shiny?
They're beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jet Black Arsenal asks, do you have any piece of media that you consumed as a kid when looking back now was probably inappropriate for someone your age?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I watched, when I was like 12, I saw Eddie Murphy's Raw.
Ooh.
Uh-oh.
His Raw what?
Sashimi. Sashimi. Sorry, I went to Eddie Murphy's Raw Bar. It's in Staten Island. It's a seafood mecca. It is delicious. Should I get, just to backtrack slightly, should I get like horse...
testosterone,
like a horse hair transfer to my like the my lower back, like if I put a mane in, is that possible?
You want a ponytail on your butt,
on my lower back, like I want my own little tail.
Oh, that's a and really it, good question.
I don't need it to move, I don't need it to like swat flies, but if it could just hang there, like if I could cut the hole, like holes in the back of my pants and walk around with a fucking beautiful,
what's your
luxurious...
plan for the second half of your life, pal? Well, what are we
attention?
Doing?
Yeah. Well, here's my question. If you could have any animal's hair mm-hmm. instead of your hair, what would you choose?
Ooh, this is
oh,
good.
I
this
love
is good.
This. I gotta say, probably a mermaid.
I'd say yeah.
Oh, Ariel. Mermaid. I would just have, honestly, Aaron, that tracks for you. You've tried to do that several times in your life.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was watching a nature documentary the other night about like big cats, and I gotta say, having a lion's mane would be pretty cool. A lion's mane, that does kind of fuck.
Yeah. You were you watching Animals on Netflix?
I was watching Animals on Netflix.
Yeah.
Good.
My gripe with it is they cut around too much, and I kind of want to see like one story about animals, but they kind of like cut around, like here's some more animals, and here's some more animals. They get to a lot of animals, which is great, but also they don't show the violent stuff. They're like, most lions, when they take over a pack, they kill all the lion babies. And I'm like, cool, I guess I'll get to witness that. And they're like, not today, though. Today, everything's fine. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
But what are those little gravestones?
What other animals have, like, hair?
I'd say, like, a yak or, like, a sheep or a...
Yeah, zebra.
Or alpaca.
Mm-hmm.
There's some birds that have, like, little puffs on the top of their head.
Oh, yeah, like a little
tuft.
Bird mustaches and bird beards. Mm-hmm.
Giraffe's fur is stunning.
Yeah.
If I could have like a pattern on my body, I'd want giraffe pattern.
Yeah, that's true. I think zebra pattern would be pretty fucking dope. It would just be, it would not be useful to me, but I would still like to have it.
No, I don't like that because you look like a fucking, what's that board game? You look like baklava or what's the fucking board game? with the all the stripes coming down on either side?
No, I'd look like
what is that?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. We both don't have the words.
We're not moving
we're
on until somebody remembers what this game is.
I'm not on the right path.
I just
Googled this and it says 19 animals with hilarious hairstyles.
Doesn't Beetlejuice have black and white a suit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'd look like Beetlejuice.
Okay, now I'm on board.
Yeah, see? Not so bad, huh?
What is that?
Speaking of Beetlejuice, inappropriate, I'd say...
Yeah,
I'd say Beetlejuice was very scary, but very formative. I'd say Return to Oz was like... I saw that way too young, and it terrified me, the scene with the woman taking her head off.
Okay.
And I'd say, like, Neverending Story, I had to leave. I feel like there's just a lot of kids' movies that have some really dark, fucked up stuff.
I know my mom got mad at my dad. They were divorced because my dad, like... let us watch Terminator when we were like 2 or 3, but he was like, they don't understand anything about Terminator. And I don't remember it, but I know that she was upset about that. I also remember vividly watching the movie Chasing Amy with my mom was in the room as well. I was in like high school, but they talk about like fisting in that. And I was just like, I was so uncomfortable being like, well, my mom's right here and this whole scene is going to be about fisting.
I think for fear, for me, it was The Ring and The Exorcist. I also saw Labyrinth when I was really little, and then I thought I dreamt it, and then it really fucked with my sense of self. I was like, I can't believe my brain came up with those images. Like, and then I went to college, and I was like, we were talking about having really terrible dreams, and I mentioned that, and someone was like, Labyrinth? And I was like, say what?
Huh?
And they like started talking about the plot, and I was like, "Oh my god, it was a movie." That in the Care Bear movie where they go through the mirror. You know the scary one where they like go through the mirror with the strawberries. Oh, and then also the movie Meteora. That shit fucked me up. The little toys. You don't, Jim Henson.
What if the last two that Aaron described were dreams, and she just like thought that it was like, yeah, some of them are movies, some of them are dreams. There's no difference between the two.
Aaron, I want to hear about Meteora. What is it?
It's a toy. It's like basically Toy Story, but instead of them just like pretending to be like limp when a human comes in the room. If they're moving and they get caught, they die. But
what?
It's like a Christmas toy movie. And the toy's name's Meteora and someone dies.
I want to watch that.
Scary.
Oh, I'll say, I think we talked about this recently, like, but the movie Toys fucked me up when I saw it when I was like 10.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of sequences. Like, there's a creature that lives in one of the rooms. Like, it's really messed up.
That's a fucked up movie. So this kind of leads into that with the next question, also from Jet Black, says, what horror movie do you think you could survive?
Oh, like if I was a character in it?
Yeah, if like you were in it. I'll be honest. How many horror movies does like the funny friend live, right? Like I think
I'm the funny friend?
No.
JPC's the virgin.
I'm the final girl.
I'm the guy with the lantern at the beginning.
And I'm like the nerd who's like, vampires can't come into your house.
Yeah.
And then I get sucked through the wall.
I don't know. I mean, there's a good chance that I would not survive any horror movie. Because I feel like I feel like I have big first to die energy.
I disagree. I think you have big second to die energy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I could, here's the thing. I feel like I could outsmart a lot of creatures. I would make myself a nice little warm bath. I'd dump a bunch of garlic in it. I'd bathe in it. And then I'd just like.
And then Chuck
guy comes in and shoots you.
I could kick the shit out of a doll.
I think what's the guy who kills you in your dreams?
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, I have terrible insomnia. I could, whatever.
And Sandman.
What, I can't sleep? All right.
I would love it if the only reason that you survive and Freddy Krueger can't kill you in your dreams is because you're just dreaming the movie Labyrinth, and he's like, this is a licensed property. We can't afford, afford to show this. So
he just, shows
can't,
up in my dream, and it's like, dance, magic, dance, magic, dance. And he's like, I can't fucking do this.
The baby with the power.
I can't go in that dream.
You remind me of the babe. What babe?
The babe with the power.
What power? Power of the voodoo. Who do you do?
You do
what? Remind me of the babe.
Okay, so this is another. This one is coming from Phoebe, she, they. They write, wholesome experiences either with someone or witnessing an exchange between people that reminded you of the good in people.
Huh?
So I guess, do you have any experiences that either you taking part in them or witnessing them that reminded you of the good in people? This is a really great question because this is something that I just don't see very often. And it kind of like, I'm like, oh, shit.
Here's what I'll say. I'm biased. I'm going to give a shout out to my mom.
Wow.
My mom is the most giving, kind person I've ever met in my life. Anytime she comes to Chicago, if we're like downtown to go to like the Kindle Market, if we're going somewhere, anytime she sees somebody who's, you know, panhandling or homeless, she stops to like acknowledge them and give them money and like wish them a good day or just like she is so, just goes out of her way to do that. And any sort of charity drive she's a part of, like she's very much like, I want to meet them with kindness and like generosity and like give them the shirt off my back. Like, so that every time I hang out with her, it reminds me of like, oh yeah, people can be good.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I feel like I see a lot of moments like that. The one that's coming to mind is I one time saw a guy in like a suit sprinting through the airport and I was like, oh, he must be late for his flight. And then I realized that he was just chasing down a family who's the little one, like the toddler had dropped their little like bunny stuffed toy.
Casey cut off the part where it says to return a toy.
Yeah, he's just chasing down his family.
I'm fucking chasing this family down. He said, I'm going to get that family.
And then the mom
get that family.
Looked like she was going to cry. She just did like the most genuine like, oh, thank you. Like
and the
she
guy
knew that the flight would have been a nightmare.
He said, it's Christmas. and then title card.
Did I ever tell you all the airport story with Adal?
We were in Adal or with Adal?
Adal.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Charlotte Airport, and I went through security. I was sitting with World News, like with Arnie Niekamp and a few other, Eddie Pena.
So it is with Adal.
We were waiting for our flight, and then over the loudspeaker, somebody said, Adal, Adal, If you're missing a doll, come to the security counter or something. So I had to find the security counter. It was out past the security checkpoint. So I had to leave, like, basically the terminal and everything. Went up to the front desk, and they're like, hello? And I'm like, hi, it's security check. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm Addle. And they go, huh? And I go, I'm a doll, Addle. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I go, it said over the microphone, if you're a doll, come to whatever. And he goes, no, somebody lost a doll. And we're saying if you lost a doll. And I was like, motherfuck. So then I had to spend 40 minutes going back through security and barely make the flight.
Perfect.
And everyone was crying, laughing at me. Like, to this day, those, like, Arnie and all those guys will not let that go.
That,
like,
is so funny. That is,
they're like, you're
so
a fucking
funny.
Idiot. And I'm like, I thought they were missaying my name.
The nicest thing anyone's ever done for me was when I was living in Australia and I got really, really sick. And my coworker, and it was costing me so much money because I didn't have insurance. And a sweet coworker who's just a really nice lady drove over to my house and gave me $500.
Wow.
I was really scared about money because I was like, I'll just not eat for 3 days. But I was so sick and I wasn't, like, buying food because it was costing me thousands and thousands of dollars to get, like, medical care. And she just gave me $500.
Wow.
And I never cried harder. It was, like, the nicest thing.
That's amazing.
That's like $100.
Exactly.
Jesus, that's so nice.
ABC, you've never seen anyone be kind?
You know, I have seen people do things that were kind, but I can't be sure what their motives were. So I don't know for sure that was actually like they may have been trying to fuck someone that they were with, and they just wanted to, like, show off that they were, like, a big, kind, you know, person. So it's like, I don't know. I truly don't know. I don't know what's going on inside someone else's head that forces them to do what they do.
Hmm.
Fair enough.
I was thinking about I have a neighbor who is looking after another neighbor's house who hasn't been there in a year. And I was like, that's like a kind thing to do to another person. And then the other day he was like, I think I'm going to buy this house if I could buy it off the guy. And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is like your year long play to buy this guy's house.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, so yeah, you know, sometimes maybe you start doing something kind and then you say, hey, there's an opportunity here. Maybe I can fuck this mom whose daughter dropped a doll in the bathroom of this airport. And maybe Erin Keith never sees it. Maybe she never sees me go down on this mom in the bathroom of a Seattle airport.
This is
but
a great
she
story.
Lives the rest of her
Sounds
life.
Sounds like everyone had a great time.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Moms need it too.
Moms need it too.
I think we've talked about these. So... okay, this is just this is a question. I love some of these Discord names. This is a question from Goobledork. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Goobledork. Does Santa Claus use public transportation?
What if God was one of us?
Here's my thing. Santa Claus doesn't need to use public transportation, yeah. But, like, I'm assuming this means when he's not working.
I think he does. I think when he goes to, like, a larger metropolis like L.A. or New York, I think he has to hop on, you know, he has to hop on a subway. Because once you get into, like, inner city, like, it's foggy. You can't really see clear enough to ride your sleigh.
Sure.
And then you don't want to drive because there's traffic and there's all kinds of stuff going on. So you want to rely on the subway.
So you think that when Santa Claus goes to L.A., he uses the subway?
Well, L.A. doesn't. Does L.A. have a subway?
No, L.A. has, like, train lines, right?
Okay.
That, like, go downtown. But correct me if I'm wrong, Erin, but they're not super useful?
No, and neither are the highways. I'm pissed off all the time here. I get so angry. I have the worst road rage. I'm from Boston. I don't get road rage in Boston. I get it here because there's not numbers on their fucking exit signs. I just need a Sharpie and a glow in the dark marker and I could save everyone in this city such headaches. I hate it. I hate driving here.
That is wild.
It sounds like I don't want to problem solve for Santa, but it sounds like what Santa needs is a chopper. If Santa had a helicopter, that sounds like it solves all these problems.
You think you know more than Santa?
I think I know what's best for Santa.
You know what I just watched for the first time, and it's amazing?
How would we know?
Claws.
Oh.
What's Claws?
It's on Netflix. It's an animated show. It's Jason Schwartzman.
Simmons. Is phenomenal.
It's a 10 out of 10. I had never seen it, and it made me cry.
We watched it 2 years ago, and we were like, how is this good and nobody's talking about it?
I agree. I had never seen it, and then I watched it, and it's great.
I've seen of it, but I've never seen it. I'm also like not a big Christmas movie guy.
I think that you'd still love it.
Okay.
I really think I would not confidently say that you would like anything for the most part, but I do think you would like this movie.
Isn't the Whiplash guy Santa?
Yeah, J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, J.K.
Simmons. Oh, I'll be honest. I do like J.K. Simmons.
And he's great.
And he's kind of like a darker, brooding Santa.
Yeah, it's not. The movie is absolutely not what I thought. And I think it stands alone not being a Christmas movie. It's really funny.
It's a lot of propaganda for the Postal Service.
For Big Christmas.
Yeah.
A lot of propaganda for the Postal Service, huh? Big Ben Gibbard fans they are?
Yeah, they are. And Jenny Lewis, too, obviously.
Jenny Lewis, too, obviously. They really tour with them.
All the kids who write letters to Santa write it in smeared black ink.
And the third person from Postal Service that everyone should know.
The beeps and boops.
And on the beeps and boops, it's Gemma's friend.
It's Gemma's friend.
Okay, this is from Rosie. Rosie writes,
"Hi, Rosie.
If you could be on Drunk History, would you rather be the one talking about the history while intoxicated or one of the actors doing the lip-syncing acting of the history?
Oh, man.
And if you wanted to talk about history, what would be the topic / story you would want to dive into?"
I think I'd want to be a reenactor. I feel like that's... I don't know. I feel like when I'm drunk, I'm more like quiet and like enjoying other people's company than I am like, here, listen to me for this thing.
Sure. I would love to see a Drunk History where they just can't get Adele to talk. Like they all the lip sync reenactors are just like silent for so much of it because they just can't get Adele to like, Adele, say anything, just anything about
the topic.
I'm just
broadly smiling and like, kind of giggling and they're like, this dumb motherfucker. Aaron, what about you?
I would have loved to do either thing on that show. Both would be great, but I would have loved to be the history person. I would have done a terrible job, but I would have had a lot of fun.
But so you would rather do the history thing?
I think so, yeah.
And do you have a specific or a particular historical event in mind?
I got super jealous when I watched the episode where they did the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum art heist. I was like, that one would have been really fun to
that's
do.
That's great.
But maybe I would do like, I would like to do maybe a Boston-y one, maybe like Abigail Adams.
Okay.
It would also be fun to do
Boston
a theater
stuff
one.
To choose from.
Mm-hmm. I'd want to do like a Western one, like Jesse James or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Like that. Shoot out the OK Corral.
JPC, what about you?
So, first of all, Drunk History, I remember when that show first came on, and I very rarely have this reaction to any like piece of media, but when that show first came on, I was like, this is such a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the idea of the show is so fucking fun. Like, it's just so fun. Of course, I don't drink anymore, so I've missed my chance to ever do Drunk History. The show probably isn't on either.
Yeah, it ended. Anymore.
So I would probably have to be, like, the reenactor person. And when you guys were talking about, like, what kind of history you'd want to do, I was like, I don't know, man. What kind of history? Because I love history. A lot of history is like very depressing. And then I was like, I would maybe want to do like a more modern history. Like I would want to do the history of when like Bobby Knight threw the chair at that basketball game. Because it's like Indiana history plus
that's
kind
so
of like.
Funny.
Do you know what he said afterwards?
I don't remember.
His excuse was he was like laughing it off. And his excuse was he was on the sidelines and he saw a woman in the front row who couldn't find her seat. And he's like, I got to help this lady. And so he's like, I threw her a chair. And the media was like, hilarious. And it's like, someone could have been hurt.
Yeah, he had a lot of rage issues, it seems. I would probably do something like that. But most likely, I would just be one of the lip-syncing actors. And I think that that is such a fun job because you get to be so comedic with just your face and like your timing. Your timing kind of matches their timing. But yeah, that just seems like such a fun thing to do.
A friend of the us in a certain degree, Craig Kukowski is, I think, in every single episode. And Baltz is in some. Mort Burke is in. Like, there's a lot of Chicago improvisers who run all over that show. JPC, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to produce Sober History, where somebody sober tells a story and then all the reenactors are drunk,
would you protest it?
All the reenactors are drunk. Hey, you know, honestly, that gives me that same feeling where I'm like, this is not as good of an idea, but it's still a pretty good idea. Okay, so Rosie also asks, Addle, would you ever get a dog? JPC and Aaron, would you ever get a cat? And they put an S on both, so dog dogs or cat cats.
I would 100% get a dog. I grew up with dogs. We never had cats. We always had dogs. So I do like dogs, but I would probably only get a dog if it was a Shiba Inu. I think I'm dead set on, like, I want that type of dog.
Have you ever had a Shiba Inu?
Mm-mm.
Do you want one?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You see what I did?
I liked it.
With putting a Shiba Inu in my friend Adel?
Oh, no.
Please don't put a dog inside of Adel, GPC. That's an expensive thing to undo.
If I put a dog inside of Adel, then he'd have a dog inside of him and outside of him, because he both is a dog and would have a dog. It's like a Russian nesting dog.
Some of the hardest I've ever laughed in my life, I think when I was in college, maybe? Or maybe, yeah, maybe in college. But I got very drunk and we were like playing YouTube videos, me and my friends. And somebody, I'd never heard of this. There's a video outtake of Michael Jordan recording a Gatorade commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And he can't get the emphasis right. So he's like, Gatorade, is it in you? And they're like, great. Michael, can you please take it again? And he's like, Gatorade, is it in you? And like, cool. Another. And he just cannot get the cadence right. Like the
yeah, that's
the
fun.
Emphasis. And it is so fucking funny. I remember crying laughing listening to that.
Dr. Basketball can't speak good.
Addle, we're the opposite. I only had cats growing up, and now I have a dog. Would have gotten.
Do you not like cats?
Oh, I love cats. I would have gotten a cat, but Sean's allergic. So if I really only have a dog because he's allergic, but now I love having dogs, and I kind of want a second dog. But I think I'll probably have a cat again in my life. I love both.
And you know, you can work around allergic, because I am allergic to cats. I never was. And then me and my college girlfriend got cats, and I was immediately allergic to them. And I was like, I had never been allergic to cats before. And I went and got an allergy test. And the allergy test, like, that doctor, like, gave me the test, and he was like, well, you're allergic to cats. And I was like, is there anything I can do? He's like, my girlfriend and I, we live together, and we have cats. And he was like, can you get rid of the cats? And I was like, no, she loves the cats. And he goes, you got to get rid of the girlfriend.
Oh, my God. And then you did.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Then on his advice, it was like I got a note from him that said
and
I was
that
allowed.
That doctor? Dr. Drew.
Allowed to break up.
Well, JPC, at least I now know why we broke up. I was left without any answers.
But here's the thing. I do love cats. And I think that I think you can get like allergy shots that seem to help people. And when I lived with cats, I just took daily Zyrtec and it did help a lot. Like sometimes I would still get like a scratchy throat. But for the most part, the hay fever was not so bad when I just took daily allergy medication.
Zyrtec sounds like an alien in a sitcom or something.
It's Zyrtec. Non-drowsy.
Bleep blarp.
But man, yeah, I do love cats. They're just such different animals, and I would definitely get a cat. The thing that prevents me from getting a cat right now is not the allergy thing, because I think that I could like reasonably work around that. It's that I just don't want them to destroy all my shit, because cats, like, they scratch. They like to scratch everything.
Yeah, a lot of our chairs are ruined.
Yeah. And Spaghetti is not a furniture dog. She has dog beds, but she doesn't get up on the furniture and she's not allowed on the furniture. And you just can't have that rule with a cat. Because as soon as you stop looking, the cat's like, I get up on the fucking table, I lick the fucking mail, I do whatever I want. Like, you shut the fuck up. And then as much as I don't like picking up dog poop, I like that dogs poop outside. Mm-hmm. I don't like that, like, cats are going to be... I don't like changing a litter box inside of my house because there's always an area that smells a little like poop.
Yeah.
See, that's my biggest hang up with a dog is like my schedule suddenly revolves around taking this dog outside 3 times a day.
Oh, dude, you can't taking a vacation, especially when a dog like Spaghetti who has anxiety, it's really hard to do because it's like you either have to bring her with you on like a road trip or you have to find some like kind-hearted friend to like stay at your place and watch her.
It's a lot.
Can you make like a little... like 8x8 cube in your kitchen and like put down AstroTurf and paint clouds on the walls and like trick the dog into being like, this is outside, and then you don't have to take him out?
You can have a dog shit in your house. Is that, what are you trying to do?
What is it about dogs that they can only poop outside?
No, you train them to do that.
But how can I not train it and then just?
Why don't you want to go outside?
Because I don't want to be on this dog's schedule.
You have a backyard. Just open the back door.
Working for the dog.
It runs
this
out.
This psychopath thinks that the dog comes trained to poop outside like it loves it. The dog will shit when it needs to shit. If you want a dog shitting in your house,
that's all I wanted to know.
It'll shit in your house for sure.
Because it's such a pain in the ass to walk.
We blew it, and Lou is such a furniture dog. Oh my God, she thinks she owns the place. She sleeps in between us.
Yep.
Directly in between us, in the middle of the bed, splayed out in between both pillows. She's it's me. I'm the center. We're a wolf pack.
It's such a slippery slope because it's like, oh, it's cute. Like the dog can come up and snuggle with me, and then it's just like, well, you can never. Now the dog does that, and you can't ever get them out.
Yeah, she needs to be touching me while I sleep because I like, just in case I get up, she wants to know. So she has some part of her body like laid across
me. Busybody.
But yeah, she started on the floor in her bed. We started that way.
Started on the floor.
But her eyes look so sad. And now she sleeps in my bed.
Okay, so we have another one. This is from Captain Sophie. Captain Sophie asks, is it too early for retrospectives on 2021? Highlights and the like? Do you have any highlights from the year 2021?
It was nice to get to see people again in person a little bit. Obviously not to the extent of the before times, and to get to do some improv shows again.
I think all my highlights are like travel related, where it's like spent some time in South Dakota, which is now one of my new favorite places. Going with you all to Denmark was an absolute dream.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, just
JPC
a lot of
had
100 stuff.
Waffles a day, something like that.
JPC had a waffle problem. Like if we left him to his own devices, I think he would have died by now.
I think you had the waffle problem, my man, because you were stuck with me.
I was an enabler. I kept buying you waffles.
I will say that in the little like between time where it was like, hey, if everyone has vaccines and things are safe and you don't have to wear masks, that like 2 week period, like in the summer, Adel, Casey, and I went and saw Fast and the Furious in 4DX.
That was a blast.
It was fantastic because like I haven't had a theater experience that was like, oh, we don't have to worry because everything's good since then, obviously. And it was very fun. It was very fun to see that movie. And 4DX, what a what a bucket of shit.
And we were able to riff out loud during the movie we weren't next to anybody who was like, upset.
Yeah, it wasn't like horribly so packed in there. It was great.
Yeah.
This has mostly been a very bad year for me, just mental health wise. It's just really difficult. And I think a lot of people probably went through that. It's not easy, especially if you have social anxiety or you're an introvert, for the world to open back up again. I had a really hard time. I was pretty sad in the spring.
Aaron, had a cross-country move this year, too, which is like, that's not easy.
That's a lot. And a lot went wrong, and it got delayed, and my stuff didn't come for 2 months. Like, all stuff that's not a big deal, but definitely made my nervous system feel a little shot. But I also got, like, a really cool dream job this year that in the new year I'll be able to talk about. So that was cool. The high highs and low lows, I would say, for this year.
High highs.
Hi highs.
Hi highs. Bye bye. Bye.
Did you hear the high? Hi-highs. The highs just moved in next door. Hi highs.
Hi highs.
Hello lows.
And then obviously like I got engaged and bought a house this year, and those were like big pivotal like life things, I think, that were important.
Congratulations again.
I don't remember. it's just like it all just fucking crashes, you know, down. Okay, this is from Court Jester. I love this question. What would be your WWE style entrance music?
Ooh,
I've thought this conversation last night. I've thought about this a lot. Ooh, yeah, because Aaron, you went and saw wrestling last night, right?
I did. It was so much fun. I love it so much. It is exactly right for my brain.
What company?
Fuck.
AEW.
Yeah.
WWE.
It is. Let me look.
The last time we asked Erin about what wrestling company she went and saw, she had to do the exact same thing, which is like look and be like,
PWG.
PWG. Okay. That sounds like an energy company.
PWE, Com Edison. if you ever go to AEW, let me know because I'm friends with some of the wrestlers.
Cool.
Awesome.
But do you guys have your wrestling, like what wrestling music that you think that you would like to come out to?
Well, I feel like you need to know your character.
Yeah.
That's true. And your character's you, Aaron, so.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
I think my, okay, I have, this is maybe not the best idea, but this is the first thing that popped into my head. I think my character would be like a businessman who's like late to the match because he works like a pretty intense 9-to-5 and has to work overtime. So he's always in like a disheveled business suit. I have like horn rimmed glasses. I have a little briefcase and my entrance music is 9-to-5. But I'm always running late. And so I have like coffee and I'm trying to sip and drink all my coffee before the fight. And then like in my briefcase is like maybe a little like brass knuckles or something. So I have some weapons inside there.
I love it. Yeah.
And I always clock in before I go in the ring. And then once I beat my opponent, I always clock out. And that's my finishing move, is called the clock out.
Yeah, because you also clock him out.
I put my piece of paper in the guy's mouth and then I turn him upside down and slam his head down to punch the ticket. And so his teeth go through the card and I go clock him out.
I love it.
I like this character.
That makes sense, yeah.
Then I call my wife to tell her I'll be home later in the middle of the ring.
You ask her if you have to pick anything up. I go, all right, yeah, no problem, honey. I'll pick up some, what did you say? Heavy cream for the soup? All right, no problem.
You get in a big fight, too, because you come home with cream and she needed heavy whipping cream. And like that's like not the same cream. She's like, it's cream.
Yeah. It's cream.
You could have texted to confirm.
But my whole thing is like, I have to hurry up the fight up because I'm like, I have to get home. Like, I work a full-time job. I'm not a wrestler. I work a full-time job and I have a family. Like, I need to get home. So my
funny.
Whole thing is like, either I need to win super fast or like, go ahead and beat me because I need to get out of here.
Sure, sure.
GPC, what about you?
Well, so I was thinking about this too, because I was thinking about this. My improv team, Law Dog, we hosted a show at CIC for like 4 years, 5 years or something like that. But we had the same entrance music that we always came out to every time. And it's like, it's kind of similar, I guess, to like a wrestler entrance music, because it was like the thing that we wanted our, like the energy of our show to be. And it was always No Diggity by Blackstreet. I that song is so great. And it's got like a great, like little intro to come out to where it goes, dooka, 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 poof. And yeah, anyway.
And I think it's got a great little penny in the music video.
And that's true.
JBC, it must have worked, because when I hear that song, I think of Law Dog.
That's true.
I went to that show so many times.
So that would be like, that's like my perfect like improv entrance music. But man, I don't know. You're totally right. You saying that it depends on the character. I was like, oh, it's just me coming out. But what would that be?
I will say the best actual wrestling music of all time was, do you all know Shawn Michaels?
Oh yeah.
He was my favorite wrestler, and he would come out to a song called Sexy Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's him singing, and it's like, I'm just a sexy boy. Sexy boy.
Yeah.
I'm not your boy toy. And it's so, the singing is so bad, but it's such a funny song.
So funny.
Love it.
I wish, is that him singing? That is very funny.
It sounds like him. I never even bothered to look it up.
Aaron, do you know what your music would be?
I was gonna make a joke that it would be John Denver and the Muppets singing that Christmas song, that Christmas is coming, the goose is getting fat. Please to put the penny in the old man's hat. If he hasn't had a penny, a half penny will do. But that's stupid. Trumpets by Jason Derulo.
I feel like JPC would come out to like the Curb Your Enthusiasm song. Yeah.
And I'd be like hurriedly like looking around, like patting down my suit, trying to find like, yeah.
I love it.
No, I think my entrance music would be like, what do you do with the B.A. in English? I would do like a musical as my entrance music.
So both of your songs are sung by puppets.
Yes.
I want you to recognize that.
We know who we are and we're not mad.
We know who we are. We know what we like. We're puppet people.
We're puppet people.
Yeah, I would love... Oh, I'm trying to... I thought of one last night. Now I'm forgetting it. But Wet Bus always came out to Come and Get Your Love. And now it's always fun to hear that song.
Yeah. Okay, so if you're planning a road trip, in location stops on the road trip, etc., for other members of the Clue Crew, what would you plan for them? So, like, I'm assuming that we're all going on this road trip together, but, like, we're planning a road trip for the group. What's your ideal road trip? Like, where would we go on the road?
And sorry, this is Clue Crew meaning the three of us, or Clue Crew meaning everyone who's
like,
a patron?
It's like, it's like 5,000 people that we have to do. It's a big bus. I guess it's maybe like 400 airplanes is what we need.
Well, then I want to say the museum.
That's too much.
Just so I don't have to
I'm
deal
so
with
stressed.
All this screaming.
The three of us.
I might do two. Like, I feel like for the two of you, it might not be the same perfect road trip. You know what I mean?
I think that's the challenge, and that I want it to be, because I don't know what and this is from Drug Crazed, by the way, he him. I don't know what he meant by this, so I'm just going to assume you have to pick. It's for the whole group. Where is the road trip going to be?
All right, I'm either going to pick like the Pacific Northwest. Okay. Or,
but where are we starting? Where are we starting from?
I think it would be cool actually to do like Vancouver and then some Washington and then end in Portland.
Okay.
So just like start north and then work our way down. And I think that we would do a lot of hikes, a lot of nature-y things. We'd go to some of the more famous restaurants in the big cities with Adel. Yeah, I think it would be good. Or I would do like an Austin, New Orleans. We're eating a bunch of tacos, going to Houston,
Okay, I like the tacos.
Going to New Orleans, listening to some music. I think those were the two. I'd do those two trips with you guys.
I will say Austin has something that I've only seen one other place in the U.S. do, which is, I guess, in Chicago.
It's so weird.
Breakfast tacos are the most amazing thing. And Austin has them everywhere, and they have like chopped up little tortilla shells. They're incredible. And then Chicago, what's the place? Not Rosebud.
He's been activated.
JPC.
Adel just picked up an AK-47.
Killed the president. What's the Lonesome Rose?
Lonesome Rose.
Breakfast tacos.
Yes. I love a breakfast taco.
Honestly, though, with the two of you, I would rather be in like a small town America vibe than a big city. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like being contained somewhere where there's not that as many options with you two is so fun.
Then you're going to love my trip, because we start in Chicago. We are driving south about 7 hours. The three of us are going to the Corvette Museum. This is in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I believe it's in Bowling Green, Kentucky. We are taking a road trip to small town Americana, and we're going to go to that fucking Corvette
Museum. That
actually
sounds so much fun.
It's also the factory where Corvettes are made. So it is a fun trip. I've been there. I'll be honest, I've been there.
I've seen billboards. And right across the street is the Louisville Slugger factory. And then right in the middle is a parking lot full of smash Corvettes.
Yeah, and there's like maybe 40 to 50 men, and they're like late 50s, early 60s. And they're on the phone with their State Farm agent and going, unbelievable.
All of the glass on the ground, it beams up to space. People are like, what is that little shiny part of America?
So weird. That's a great one. I would say... start in Chicago. Here's what I'll say. If it's all of our patrons, start in Chicago. I gotta say,
I don't think it's that.
I'm now obsessed with South Dakota. So I'd say we drive west to South Dakota, stop in a few cities. Sioux Falls is fantastic, wonderful food and environment there. Head into the Badlands.
Sioux Falls.
Some time in the national parks, and then probably go through Wyoming and then Portland.
Adel, can I just say, Sioux Falls is great, except if it's my grandma.
Oh, what happened to Susan? Sue fell.
Oh, no.
Sue falls? Sue falls? Sue breaks her fucking hip. Sue old!
Souffle. If it's the three of us...
That's what it is.
I think 100% if it's the three of us, we start in Chicago, we drive south, probably go through St. Louis, hit up the City Museum,
grab
some
good
fun.
Vietnamese food, and then we're going straight to New Orleans, USA, and I'm taking you two to every single spot that I'm obsessed with, and... hopefully showing you all a good time.
Okay. We missed a question last time and the question from last time, and this will be the last question for this time, do you have a first video game or early video game experience? Do you remember like what the first video game that you played was?
This is tough because I feel like I got a Nintendo around the time that I was also going to like arcades.
So
I can't remember. I can't remember what came first, but I remember playing Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers with my sister. And then there's a shooting game called Operation Eagle that my dad would play with me. That was real fun. But then I'd say like the first super memorable games that I remember were the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle arcade game with the four stations. You could be any four of the turtles, but you had to be at the specific pad for them.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, I know.
The Simpsons, too, and also for the X-Men, where it's like each station was a character. So I remember the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I remember Battletoads, and Battletoads being like the coolest thing. And then for Nintendo, when I got Bubble Bobble for NES, I was like, Bubble Bobble is the most delightful game, and I would play that for hours on end.
Hmm. We had a Nintendo and then a Super Nintendo. So I remember a game on Nintendo where you would use the red gun. It might have been Duck Hunt. Remember that. And then on Super Nintendo, I remember Star Fox very, very clearly playing. And then Super Mario World. I remember that very clearly.
Mario World was so cool.
Yeah, that's a fun one. We had like a Nintendo, and I remember playing the first Legend of Zelda game. Like I think that's probably my very
the gold cartridge.
Yeah, my very first gaming experience. But then there was also this game. Someone will probably know this because I refused to look it up. But there was this game that we played that was like Dragon Ball Z. It had like kind of like Dragon Ball Z characters, but it wasn't called Dragon Ball Z. And I think it was like a game that came, like a Japanese game that was like a precursor to Dragon Ball Z, or Tekken. Was like, what's that?
Tekken?
No. It wasn't a
Virtual
fighting
fighter?
Game. It wasn't was a fighter. Okay. It was a narrative game. Like it was or not narrative, but it wasn't like a fighting game.
Chronicles of. What is that called? Chronicles of May.
Someone's gonna know.
No. This legit. This is like it had like the characters from Dragon Ball Z in it. It just wasn't called that, but it was that. It just was like a Japanese name for it or something like that. It was very strange because like years later I was like, did I play a fucking Dragon Ball Z game for Nintendo? What the fuck was that game?
It's wild.
And I knew at one point, but I've completely forgotten it. But that, I think that was probably my very, very first, like early on video game experience.
Can I buy some time because I'm super curious?
Sure.
Can I buy some time for Casey to answer this question?
Yeah.
Because I know that Casey's a big gamer.
Oh.
And Casey has given me a lot of recommendations. Casey has been kind enough to buy me a lot of video games just as nice little gifts. So I would be very, very curious to hear like what his first big game was or first. Oh, he's asleep.
Oh no! I'm here.
Okay, she's here. Okay.
Yeah, I remember that. Like the first one I really remember playing was the Aladdin game for Sega Genesis.
Oh yes.
Yes.
So good.
Like throwing apples and the Cave of Wonders in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this feeling. That is so rare in my human experience in all my life, this intrigue of like, oh my God, I'm in the Cave of Wonders. Robin Williams is here. Like, holy shit.
Oh, Casey, yes, hello, you're my best friend.
I loved that game.
Oh, let's get out of Ohio, huh?
Ohio! Hi-ho, Ohio. Let's off to work, we go.
That's a fantastic answer. And what a fantastic end to another fantastic edition of the Chatterbox.
Casey jogged my memory of me playing the Rescue Rangers game, which is phenomenal.
As good of a game. Really bad note to end on. That kind of sucks.
Or California games?
Neptune?
Even
How
worse.
How do I get out of here?
Fuck.
Sorry, the store was locked.
Can you train a dog to not bark? Can a dog not bark?
Oh, the door's locked. I can't get out of this episode.
Aaron, can a dog not bark?
Neptune.
Aaron.
Yep.
Hey, Aaron.
What's up?
Hey, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Can a dog not bark?
That was Clue Crew, so now here's a who's who. The relatable host was Aaron Keith. If you rolled your eyes, it's because of Adel Refai or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said, and F. Mumbly Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4, hate riddle, riddles, Clue Crew.